reached the final level. The Spicy McNugget side mission. Maximum flavour, crispy crunch, and a spicy dip with a kick.
Are you ready?
Spicy McNuggets, for a limited time only. Until the 9th of September 25. Fees apply to delivery. Participation and price may vary. Subject to availability. Serving times apply.
You're watching and listening to Peak to Pit, Ali Peak, TJ Pittinger, talking college football. It is the beginning. I mean, I guess if there's been a couple of games, but the beginning of bowl season, which is one of my favorite times of the year. I don't know. I can't remember, TJ, if you're one of the ones that thinks that there's too many bowls or just the right number of bowls. But for me, give me all the games possible before we go on, you know, an 8-month hiatus of no football.
Yeah, no, I do not think that there are too many bowls. I'm not one of those people. I will watch, you know, Toledo on a Tuesday in December at 2 p.m. That's perfect to me. I do think, and we had this debate last week, I do think the bowls are becoming more and more meaningless. You're having more and more guys out. So I don't like what's happening to bowl season.
Right.
I think that I've been a longtime proponent of not expanding the playoff.
Right.
But I do think that expanding the playoff would keep more and more kids from opting out.
Right.
And so, but anyway,
I'm
a fan of bowl season, but I don't like what's happening to it.
Yeah.
It's becoming less and less
interesting. More valuable, right? Like if it wasn't, I feel like you're right. Whereas if you're not in the playoffs, but you're one of those teams that were like, let's say, six or eight, you know, right underneath the four that make the playoffs, you're completely disinterested because you think you had a shot to make it and you just missed it and you're whatever. And I get that argument. I just wish there was a way for bowls to be valuable and the playoff to continue. I guess that would have been the BCS, which we tried and was pretty successful, but we changed. So here we are.
Yeah, and you get into some of these bowls and stuff, and, you know, so you're – what is the Rose Bowl? So the Rose Bowl this year is
Ohio State, Utah, right?
And Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
So Ohio State's aspirations, it's exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Now, I don't know
what kind of, and it's Utah's Super Bowl, essentially.
Right. Oh, now, I don't – not saying Utah definitely wins or anything like that,
no,
but if I'm Ohio
but
State,
they have
I'm
a
playing
lot more to play for.
Absolutely. I was playing – in that Michigan game, I was playing for a chance to go to the playoff, right? If they win that Michigan game, they're in the playoff, assuming they win the next week in that Big Ten championship, which they surely do.
Right.
So, and Utah was an underdog. Oregon was supposed to win, right? And they beat Oregon, beat their brains in twice. And so Utah getting to play in the Rose Bowl is massive for them. And so, yeah, you've got one team that's probably disinterested. You've got a Utah team that lost to Oregon State and San Diego State earlier this year. You know, so you got a couple lost Utah team, sneaks into the championship, gets to go to the Rose Bowl. It's not going to shock anybody if they make it. You know, you look at last year, you look at Florida before the LSU game had playoff aspirations. And then within a matter of 2 weeks, you lose to LSU in dramatic fashion. You lose to Alabama in a close game. And how motivated was Florida to be there? Some of their best players opted out. The guys and Oklahoma on the other side did look like they cared about being there. Now, I don't know what the big difference was there. But anyway, yeah, I just – because the bowls, you know, I hate what they've become.
Yeah. I love bowls, but you're right. I'm not a big giant fan of what they have become. Although I am kind of excited, nervously so, which is interesting, for Florida's – bowl game. They are playing in the Gasparilla Bowl. They're playing UCF. I don't know that Florida really has a whole lot that they can gain in this bowl. I think they have a whole lot they can lose, which is really not a desirable position to be in. Florida beats UCF. It's like, great, you beat UCF. That's what you're supposed to do. Florida loses to UCF and you know, it's a bad look, right? And this is a team who is going through transition to a new coaching staff. They don't even have a full staff right now of the previous regime coaching them. There's a handful of guys that are opting out. There's a handful of guys that are entering the transfer portal, some of which are playing in this game, some of which are not. Not in general a giant fan of people who have already said that they're going to the transfer portal, getting an opportunity to continue to play for the team that they're leaving. However, in Emory Jones's case, it makes sense. One, Florida doesn't have a quarterback who's really had a single meaningful rep because Anthony Richardson is out if Emory doesn't play. And also, I think that he has handled the quarterback controversy at Florida this year with complete and total class. I don't know that there is anything I could say that he should have done differently. So I feel like he's earned it. I honestly think that Florida may get some good play out of him because this is essentially his audition for his next team. And, you know, that's kind of true for all of these Gators, which is the only reason that I think that Florida has a shot in this game. If there was not a coaching change.
Well, they're also just much better than UCLA.
Well, they are, right. Like, I mean, Jimmy's and Joe's, right? Florida's Jimmy's and Joe's are better than UCF's Jimmy's and Joe's. Yeah. But
don't this be game, lining up these excuses because we're coming next week when y'all drop this game. So,
well, listen, if Florida wasn't going through a coaching staff transition, which also makes this game harder, but I would be more likely to think that UCF would win this game. But I think that there's a whole lot of guys who are really interested in putting on the best performance possible for their new head coach who will be on the sidelines. So I think that that could be a motivating factor for them. But, you know, this should be, at least on paper, a really good game, right? This is a UCF team who has won, I believe, 5 out of the last 6 games. They really started the season kind of slow. They're trending in the right direction. Their defense really kind of got shored up as the second half of the season went on. They're allowing like 17 points or less a game at this point, which, you know, that's a pretty darn strong defensive performance. They have Tatum Bethune, who is a linebacker that he's got team high 101 tackles, 2 interceptions. He's kind of like the heart and soul of UCF's defense. And he is going to be looking for Pierce. You know, he's going to looking for Malik Davis. He's going to be looking for Emory Jones to mess up. So, you know, I think that it's going to be a good game. Florida should win it, but I definitely am not going to sit here and say that Florida is going to pound UCF.
You should watch your phrasing on saying that anyway. You've been getting in trouble the last couple of weeks that we've been doing these shows. I mean, Florida's a consensus, you know, I mean, just everywhere they're a touchdown favorite, you know, but yeah, I think that it should be a good game. It should be a close game. You know, Florida's not blown anyone out this year.
No, Florida is trending the wrong direction and UCF is trending in the right direction.
Fortunately for Florida and what's a struggle for UCF is UCF's quarterback went down early in the year. And that's really where they started to struggle. He was intercepted on the last play of the game against Louisville. And also injured on that last play of the game against Louisville. They lost the next week, a close one to Navy, got blown out by Cincinnati, who is in the playoff, and then really off game against SMU. Right. But otherwise, they've handled business. I mean, they played USF a little closer than they should have. You know, they've escaped a couple of close games that they shouldn't have. But, yeah, I mean, they're 8-4 for a reason. I think that, like I said, Florida's not blown anyone out this year. And they've, in fact, they've, you know, gotten blown out in weird games that we wouldn't expect, right? Like South Carolina and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it'll be a close game. I think that a big factor is how well Emory plays.
Yeah.
You know, if
well, not which is interesting because UCF's defense is really good with takeaways. And so since Emory is so interception prone, that could be one of the keys to the game to pay attention. If UCF continues the trend of being successful at taking the ball away, if Emory continues the trend of giving the ball away, that's not a good stat for Florida.
Their defense has played really, really well outside of that one game that you mentioned that they've lost in the last 6. So gave up 7 points to Memphis, gave up 7 points to Temple, gave up 10 points to Tulane, gave up 13 points to UConn. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 17 points to UConn, 13 points to USF. So keeping teams at 17 or less, I mean, that's a great way to win. Not that any of those teams are world beaters by any means.
No, but if my team is only giving up 17 points, I expect to win. Right.
All of those teams are as good, if not better, than who was it that you guys gave up? Sanford, you know? So, like, I don't, you know, yeah. I think that, you
better
know.
Better than Sanford. It'll,
yeah, I would hope, right?
I would hope too, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to how well Emory plays. If Emory Jones plays the entire game against Florida State, you know, I don't think that they win. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really what kept Florida State in it when Florida State's quarterback was also out, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that if he plays about like he did against Florida State, I mean, you guys are going to lose. If he plays better than that, you guys have a great chance to win. I mean, that really is all that comes down to the debate, because there's nobody to go to without him, right? Like, if he throws three interceptions the first half again, you know, I know, does Florida State have a better defense than UCF? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe, probably more talented, but like, I don't know whose defense is truly better. But like, yeah, I mean, if he plays poorly again, you guys are going to lose. Like, that's just all it is.
Yeah.
If he plays well, then I think it'll be a close game late. And, you know, I do think, you know, you mentioned the motivation factor for Florida. I think that motivation factor exists for UCF too.
Me too.
They're the guys that are disrespected, and you didn't make it into a Big Three school, or you didn't make it into Florida, and like, this is their time to show that they belong.
Florida State fans want this.
Sure, absolutely. This is the best time to get them. I mean, this is a great year to get Florida. They were 6-6. They were terrible this year. You know, they didn't beat anybody with a pulse. You know, and so I think that you'd want to play them in a year they're down, a year that they're transitioning to coaching, a year that a bunch of guys are opting out, a year that the best quarterback's hurt. I mean, this is like the best scenario ever, you know?
Right.
You don't have to go to the swamp. Yeah. Like, this is great. Like, this is like the best.
Pretty close to a 50-50 crowd, I would assume, 60-40, something like that. You know, it is best case scenario for UCF. Florida's defense, who admittedly hasn't been great towards the second half of the season anyway, but really did pull it together for Florida State and play a decent game, is going to be pretty decimated though. You know, Zach Carter, who I would say is probably the single best defensive player on Florida's team, has opted out. There's a couple different guys. Mahmoud Diabate is transferring, so he won't be playing in the game. Elam is playing, which is nice, and that should be a huge help. Rashad Torrance is going to be playing as well, but truly Florida is going to be missing pieces, whether it's because of transferring, whether it's because they just chose to opt out, whether it's because of injury, whatever. Florida's defense that already wasn't awesome is going to be missing some of its key pieces. And so, you know, at full strength, I don't really know that I think this is a contest. And Florida still should win.
I don't know about that. I think that if UCF had their quarterback, if UCF had Gabriel, I think it's a good game. If it's a neutral field, UCF has their starting quarterback.
Mike King has done a decent job for UCF, actually, though. He's been serviceable for sure.
He's done fairly well, but like, you know, they're just a different team. Like, they put up 36 against Boise State week one. They put up 63 against Bethune-Cookman. I know that's a lower level program. They put up 35 against Louisville his last game. And then from there, their scores have definitely dropped off. So he's been good.
Well, they had an injured running back and an injured wide receiver as well.
UCF's every bit as good as – I mean, UCF's better than some of the teams that you have struggled with early and late, right? Like, I don't think UCF is – UCF's Missouri happened on a neutral field. Like, I don't know that – you know, one of those teams is way better than the other. UCF, South Carolina. I don't know that one of those teams. UCF, FSU, probably about the. I mean, again, about the same level, and all of those were like 3-point games. I think this would be a good game either way. Like, now, if UCF played UF last year, I mean, you guys probably beat them by 40, but this year, it's a very off UF year.
This is a best case scenario for UCF. This is a pretty close to a worst case scenario for Florida. Like I said, I do think that they have a little bit more motivation because they're playing for the new coaching staff than they would if otherwise. But this is not an ideal situation for Florida. This is not a game that makes me feel good. I don't think that there is. I think that there should be a talent gap. I think that there is a talent gap. I don't know that I think that talent gap is going to play as much in Florida's favor as it should or could. I think this is going to be a close game. You know, I really think it's going to be a very close ball game.
Yeah, I also worry about Florida's buy-in. I've already got a bunch of guys.
You don't actually worry. You hope that they aren't bought in at all, but
I don't know, man. We're probably going to Busch Gardens tomorrow night. So I, you know, we'll see if I even get to see it.
We did that on Monday night.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I worry about Florida's buy-in, right? Yeah. Like if things start to go the wrong way, like UCF will not quit in this game because they want to upset Florida, right? If their buy-in isn't all the way there, then who knows, you know, like who, you know,
I did
all the guys opting out. And again, you can't go to Richardson if Emory struggles. So like, do you do?
Right. I did a Spaces last night for the Gator Collective and there were some players on there. And I will tell you, the guys that did talk seem all in and they, you know, we took some questions from fans and there were some people that were asking what this game meant to them or if it carried any weight for them. And I really was impressed with the answers, guys saying that, you know, they felt like this was a chance to actually claim the state title because it's pretty rare to, I mean, and we didn't play Miami, but y'all beat Miami and we beat Florida State. So beating UCF would be
the transitive state title.
The transitive state. It kind of looks like transitive national titles too. Yeah. But I was impressed with, at the very least, the rhetoric, right? We'll see if that translates onto the field tomorrow night.
You like their coach speak is what you're saying.
I liked their coach speak. I liked the coach speak. And you know what? These guys would be smart to play their butts off because they are auditioning for their next jobs, whether that's at Florida or, you know, wherever they happen to land in the transfer portal. So it would be smart to get another good game on film. But this whole thing makes me a little bit uneasy, not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I really have no, I don't have a great feeling on which way this game goes, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know how anyone would be confident one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because again, it comes down so much to me to quarterback play.
Yeah.
You know, can Florida get just average quarterback play?
They'll probably win. Quarterback play.
Yeah.
Should get not, the job done, but
if not, and you know, best of luck to Emory going forward. I was big on the Emory Hive because I really wanted you guys to start him for years, and so I finally got my wish, and you see what happened. But I more often than not, you know, his quarterback play down the stretch has not been great, and so that's kind of, you know, what probably worries you if you're a Florida fan is can he. You know,
well, throw well not enough. Only and, does his play worry you, but the fact that there isn't an out, right? If he plays poorly in other games, at the very least, you knew that there was another option there, and that option's gone right now. Anthony Richardson had some off-season surgery that he needed to have some just like maintenance work. He's going to be totally fine, but he's not available for this, right? So it doesn't, if he starts to struggle, he's still your guy.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think I'd probably give the edge to Florida here just because, you know, most of the time I'll just take a team that's deeper and more talented. Right. But I honestly have no good lean on this. I like I do like UCF to cover the spread. I think it's within a touchdown either way. Mm-hmm. But I think I like Florida to win this. But, I mean, bowls are such a crapshoot at this point. Like, you know, the only bowls that I don't think are a crapshoot are – the playoffs, right? Like those are like, you know that Michigan and Georgia are going to show
up. Be there.
You know that Cincinnati's going to give it their all, right? Like, probably won't win, but like, you know that those are at least going to happen. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, as we get a little bit closer, we can talk about the playoff a little bit next week when we get into that for sure. We took a couple of weeks off, had some kind of crazy weeks, and I was sick one week, and Allie just hated me last week. And so here we are 2 weeks later, but it was a slow time. Went a lot going on. So it's all good.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of recruiting going on, but that's generally not something we talk too much about in this basically because we don't actually care until you get to the field and give me something to look at against, you know, college opponents essentially.
Yeah. About like the week or two before, not like when there's a massive, you know, commit or massive, you know, like, you know, the big name guys in the class, but you know, typically about the week before, like a week or two before signing day, I start to like, oh, okay, what's this guy's name? What's that guy's
name?
Yeah,
I mean, I follow it on signing day because I covered it for years. So there's a little bit of it that's still kind of in my blood. And I, you know, love what signing day means to, for all of these kids. I just kind of laugh at, you know, middle-aged men fawning over 17-year-old guys who
Let them live. Yeah.
I think the thing that's
me
the most
brother, me and your brother fawn over 17-year-old whiskey.
That's true. You guys so do that.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's just kind of like,
I think the thing that drives me nuts is the, oh, well, we signed so-and-so and he's going to start immediately. We literally say that every year about every top guy. And like everybody forgets about the stable of top guys that are already at that program who next man up doesn't mean that you're, you know, brand new freshman recruit is some sort of failure because he doesn't start immediately. In theory, they're all supposed to be like that, right? But I don't know. Y'all had a little bit of heartbreak on recruiting.
If there was one guy that wasn't going to start day one, it was definitely somebody that was committed to FSU and then ended up elsewhere. Yeah, at Florida State, obviously, I mean, not breaking news here.
No.
If you're listening or watching this, you know about this. But yeah, Travis Hunter to Jackson State to go play for Dion, you know, fan base completely blindsided, you know, as a kid that, again, it doesn't really matter until pen hits paper, but a kid that was committed for a little over a year and a half was really the catalyst behind Florida State's, you know, good to, you know, above average recruiting class that they've got right now, was literally came up with the slogan that was on every single recruit and commit. And, you know, when we tweeted out like, oh, this person signed, it said hashtag Platinum Squad, like literally came up with that. And again, was a big reason that Florida State had some success in recruiting this year. And chose to flip at the last minute to go to Jackson State, very likely encouraged by quite a bit of cash that's coming his way through some NIL deals.
Which technically are, is still illegal, right? Because you're not supposed to have anything lined up prior to signing.
Yeah, but I mean
this whole thing is wild west right now.
Yeah, nobody's
going
to do anything. I mean, he was being offered some things Florida State's way too. Not to the same level. And so, anyway, I'm not going to say that was his only decision, but a big factor in why he ended up there. At the end of the day, I mean, it absolutely sucks because I'm not trying to disrespect any other players on the team, but he'd have been the most talented player on the field or on Florida State's team, you know, week one, without a doubt. And he probably would have been, I'm not going to say the best.
Though. That's a huge statement.
Talented. Yeah, just straight talent? No, I mean, I don't think that's too crazy.
But how do you even really compare that?
Yeah, I think talent and, you know, kind of where, like, talent and, like, skill are different, right? Like, skill is, like, learned and talent is just innate. I mean, he's a top 10 rated recruit of all time. So, like, I just kind of, like, mean, like, athletic freak.
Sure.
You know, more athletic, more talented than anybody else. But, yeah, I'm not going to say he'd be the best player on FSU's team next year, you know. But certainly the most talented. Probably with the exception of, like, maybe somebody on Clemson or LSU or maybe Florida. Probably the most talented, young, raw talent. Probably the most talented player that would be on a field anywhere. Next
Alabama
year.
Probably has something.
No, I'm sorry that we would play against.
That you would play. Okay.
Yeah. So like in all 12 games, probably the most talented player on the field for all of them. No, that doesn't mean he's the best, right? There's a difference between talent and, you know, but just a massive loss for Florida State. A loss that I think that worries me.
Your fan base did not take well.
I mean, I don't think anybody would have. You know,
well, but here's the
that.
Thing about recruiting, right? Like, it sucks, right? You have this guy that you think you've had him for like almost 2 years or whatever, and you're blindsided by it. But at the end of the day, I do think it's important that everybody remembers we're talking about this guy's future, right? He gets to decide his future, and whether or not it's a good decision for him will, you know, play out over the next 3 years, and we'll know whether it was a good decision or not. But at the end of the day, it's his. It's his life. It's his choice. And so, you know, it is what it is. The kind of like,
oh, yeah, and I don't hate think, I don't that think I saw Florida State spewed fans.
Online, I mean...
I didn't see as much for him as I did for Dion. I didn't see people like cussing out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. I saw both. Like, do you think Dion should not go up against any Florida State players or Florida State recruits because he played at Florida State and he should give them some sort of,
I don't think that at all.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I don't think that at all. I just think that people are upset when bad things happen to them and they want an outlet and they want somebody to blame. You know, I don't think
if you're going to blame anybody, you should blame your own coaching staff, right?
Yeah, I think there's an aspect of that. I also think that there's an aspect that it did not matter. So here's my couple of thoughts. It did not matter where Travis was committed to the day before signing day. He was going to Jackson State because I talked to Georgia people.
Sure.
I talked to Georgia people that were also very, very upset that their number was not large enough as well. Yeah, there's an aspect of that.
George is always upset about that because their number usually is large enough.
Right. So, I don't think anybody is thinking like Dion shouldn't have recruited him. I don't think anybody's thinking like, again, I think
people would say. Well, that's not what I read on signing day. So,
I think they're just mad at him. I didn't see anybody saying like Dion should not have done his job and done us a favor by not recruiting this kid. I think they're just mad at the way it went down. Right. I think they're mad at. I do think that there's a level of, and we'll say this, as somebody who tries to be somewhat honest, I think there's a level of dishonesty that came into play with Travis Hunter. And I think that because of Barstool and because of Primetime and because of those people and the way that they want things to be a big splash, I think Travis Hunter certainly misled the coaching staff.
Yeah, and I think that's his, like, this is your decision, right? Just own it.
He was
encouraged by others to keep it.
For it to be a bigger production. And if when it went down sometime before signing day, because he didn't wake up and just decide, I'm changing my entire... he's doing interviews and knows that he's going to Jackson State and is lying to the reporters and lying to the FSU coaching staff and lying to the other recruits that are going on. I do think there's an element of dishonesty that I'm not a huge fan of, but I'm not sitting here like, you know, F Travis Hunter. Now, I will say, I still hate Oregon from the way they beat us in the playoff in 2014. So if you don't think that I'm going to be petty about this, then you're crazy. Because so like I will cheer like if, you know, I also understand that like me cheering for or against somebody has no impact on what actually
that makes
happens.
You feel good. So
right. It felt great for Dion to get blown out on national TV on Saturday when they played in that bowl. I hope Travis Hunter goes 0-12 next year. He probably won't, but I hope they never win a game. But I'm petty. Like that's fine. Like you cheer against FSU. I cheer against Florida. I hate Oregon
State. I actually cheer for Florida State when they're not playing.
You're so
Florida.
Full of crap. Get out of here.
Cry when they lose.
It had been 7 years since we played. It had been 7 years since we played Oregon in the Rose Bowl, and I was very happy when Utah beat their brains in the other day. Like I just still don't like that team. So like, don't think that I'm not
going to
be petty
for
about
Texas because they did us a favor and beat Nebraska in 1996, and I was 12 years old. So I get it. All right, I get
it. So.
And also Ohio State and Joe Germain, who beat Arizona State that same year in the Rose Bowl.
I don't hate Dion. I don't hate Travis Hunter. I think they both did what was best for them. I do think the aspect of dishonesty hurt us more because we didn't have a plan B. Not that you have a plan B for the number one player in the country, but we didn't have a plan B because we were still.
Who knows who else you missed out on because that spot was taken.
Right. So anyway, not a huge fan of that, but at the end of the day, if that's your biggest complaint is that a kid,
you know what I'm not a huge fan of?
If your biggest complaint is that a 17, 18 year old kid's a liar, then, you know, most of them are. So go ahead.
My biggest complaint is I think early signing day is absurd.
I think it's
stupid. I know it's
I like early signing day.
I think it needs to get pushed back.
Early signing day rewards coaches. It rewards programs
that are good at multitasking.
It rewards programs that have stability.
Yeah.
And if you hired a new coach or fired a coach or whatever,
yeah.
or you couldn't hold on to a coach.
Right. It hurts for sure.
Your program suffers from that. And so
yeah.
that is something that I think programs should have to factor in is like, hey, if we're going to fire this, early signing day rewards programs with stability. Florida State wasn't even good this year. They went 5-7. They lost to Jacksonville State. And they still are going to finish with a better class than either one of their
Florida
rivals.
State getting a call from the Gator Bowl?
I hope not. And I don't think we would accept it anyway.
Yeah. Supposedly there's a big push for Illinois happening right now. But for those of you that haven't seen the story yet,
Florida State hasn't
A&M.
Practiced.
Well, no. I mean, nobody that's not bowl eligible has practiced. But Texas A&M is out of the Gator Bowl because they have too many COVID positives. So they're looking for currently an opponent for Wake Forest. I'm not advocating for Florida State to go there. We already saw Wake Forest, Florida State this year. I don't know that we need to see it again.
I don't think anyone
supposedly they're looking
play in
for
this
a
game.
Waiver for a team that's already played in a bowl game. I don't think Florida would do it, but a team like Florida, honestly, it would be a great opportunity for UCF. A team who, so the Gator Bowl happens 8 days after the Gasparilla Bowl, right? You've already been practicing. For UCF, it's another national stage, right? It's a Power Five opponent.
You think UCF should go play them?
I think it would be a great opportunity for UCF. I don't, nobody asked me, and I don't know that they're getting a call, but I think it would be an awesome opportunity for UCF to go get to play an ACC opponent. It's not far, right? They've already been practicing. It's a nice payday for them. I'm sure they could probably finagle maybe a larger payday than it would normally be because they'd be doing the Gator Bowl a favor. I think it would be an interesting matchup, right?
That's interesting.
I don't think it would be a bad move for UCF. I don't think it makes sense for Florida because of the coaching transition, and I think they're just ready. The new staff's probably just ready for the old staff to all the way be out the door and to be able to start working on next year, try and shore up a couple kids in this class. So, like, I don't know that for Florida it makes sense, but for a team like UCF, it really does. And it would need to be an opponent that either already played or is playing in the next day or two to have enough time to prepare for the next opponent. So, I mean, I don't know. Throwing UCF's name in the hat there, I think that would be a fun one.
Yeah. I don't think anyone that hasn't practiced for the last 3 weeks.
They're not, which is why you have to take somebody who's already in a bowl, right?
I don't
think
that's
why that waiver has to happen.
First of all, most teams don't care, right? Like if you finished 5-7 or worse, your season was probably a disappointment.
Yeah, but if you're getting a couple million dollar payout, your program might care.
See, I don't even know about that because I also worry about player safety. Like if these guys haven't practiced together for 3.5 weeks, they've gone home, they've gotten fat, they've gotten out of shape, they've gotten lazy.
It has to be somebody who's already playing in a bowl. Right. It has to be somebody already practicing.
Yeah, my point is, that's my point on the 5-7 teams is that I don't think it makes sense for Florida State. I don't think it makes sense for anyone that's been off for the last several weeks because I just don't think that's
I totally agree.
I think that's a safety issue.
Yeah.
You can't have guys not be around for 3 weeks and then just all of a sudden go suit them up. Right. All right, what you got next?
I don't know. I mean, we talked about recruiting. We talked about this
recruiting
bowl game. What is recruiting?
No, I just crazy that we went to recruiting. Okay. All right, so we'll talk about the playoff real quick and then go.
Yeah.
Georgia and Michigan, Alabama and Cincinnati. Georgia's a like 8-ish point favorite, mm-hmm. and Alabama's like a 13.5 point favorite.
The Georgia spread is a lot for me. I think Georgia Michigan is obviously going to be the better of the two games between those two. I think that, it's going to take every single thing in Georgia to beat Michigan. I think that that is going to be a very close game. I think it's going to come down to defense. I am really pumped to see that game. I think that Alabama absolutely manhandles Cincinnati, though.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that is probably the case. Yeah, I think Michigan's interesting. I think that I think the reason that spread is like a touchdown, or I just looked it up, 7.5 here. It's 8 in other places. What we have seen from Big Ten teams in the playoff has not been – it's not always been great. Urban obviously won it the 1 year, but – you know, you look at Alabama blowing Ohio State out last year. Just when the SEC goes up against the Big Ten, it doesn't typically work out really, really well
right.
for the Big Ten.
Right,
And there's just – I think Michigan's obviously good. They're 12-1. I mean, obviously you're not going to think that they're bad.
No, they're a good team. This is the best Michigan team we've seen in a long time.
Long time. But there's a big difference between Alabama and Michigan. And do you expect Georgia to win?
I think Georgia, this is really hard, honestly. I think Georgia wins. I think it's closer than the spread.
Yeah. When your only loss is an embarrassing loss to Alabama.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia's really good, right? Like, they are a really good football team. Their defense, I think, has only given up over 150 yards like one time this year, and that was Florida. Michigan does have a better rushing offense than Florida had. So, I mean, that will be maybe the key battle that you look at right there. But 7.5, 8 feels like a lot to me.
Yeah. I also thought, like, and Alabama made the plays. I'm not going to sit here and say that the game was
right.
closer than it looked, but I do think for a large portion of the game, the Alabama-Georgia game was closer than it looked. Alabama, it was a one-score game at the half, and Alabama came out and scored to start the second half to make it 2 scores, and Georgia drove down inside of the red zone and threw an interception. And so it's like they moved the ball on Alabama pretty well there.
Right.
They then forced a 3-and-out and drove the ball down 54 yards to inside of the red zone again and couldn't convert on the fourth down. And so, like, back-to-back drives, driving it down Alabama's throat, they then forced another punt on Alabama and then threw a pick six. And so I think that the breaks definitely went Alabama's way. Now, Alabama made the plays. Don't get me wrong. But I think that, you know, you get stopped on 2 fourth downs inside the red zone. You throw a pick six. If two of those plays go the other way,
it's a different game.
It's much, much different, right?
Right.
Georgia's got like the 2-score lead. So I think that Alabama made the big plays when they had to be made. They were the better team without a doubt. I think that Georgia put up 450 yards on Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't bad by any means. I think that, you know, they lost the turnover battle 2-0. They got stopped on a couple of fourth downs. I mean, they really lost the turnover battle 4-0, right?
Right.
They got stopped on 2 fourth downs. They got stopped. They had two interceptions.
Yeah.
So you can't lose a turnover battle against Alabama 4-0. But they still put up 450 yards on Alabama.
I mean, I would be shocked. You can't lose a turnover battle in the playoffs, regardless of who your opponent is, I don't think. I mean, I think that these teams are going to be too evenly matched for that to be a case. I'm interested to see Michigan's offensive line is, a unit of strength for them, something I feel like we've heard a lot about. But Georgia's defensive line is really, really good. And this is going to be the best defensive line that Michigan has faced this year, for sure. So that'll be an interesting kind of matchup to watch. And then, I guess that's kind of tied into Michigan's running game, which is something else that I'm interested in seeing. But I think that this will be a really good game. I think that Georgia is more battle tested. I think that Georgia has better Jimmys and Joes. Harbaugh's a great coach, so I don't think that there's necessarily like a game day coaching edge between he and Kirby, but there is a Jimmys and Joes edge for Georgia. But I think that this will be a fun one. And I like, this is a matchup that we like, you know, we've probably seen in an Outback Bowl sometime in the last 10 years, but it's not something we see on a regular basis. So I'm excited about that, but this is going to be the better of the two playoff games.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I hope, the last time that these two played was 1965.
Oh, shoot. Okay. So we haven't seen him in the Outback Bowl in the last 10 years. That's crazy because these two.
That's because Georgia's either really, really. Yeah. Georgia's either really, really good or really bad. Like, they're either missing a bowl or making the playoff, right? Like, the last 20 years. I mean, but seriously, like, they're either. I mean, like, Rick won 10 games a lot. Michigan wasn't good in the early 2000s. So,
We played Michigan in the Outback Bowl a lot in the early 2000s. So I just kind of figured that if we weren't there, Georgia did. But we played Michigan and Iowa a lot.
A lot. So, and I hope the other game can be somewhat good. Like, it'd be cool if that game was somewhat competitive, just so that we don't have to watch, you know, bad football for 3 hours leading up to it. It's also, I understand why they did this, but I wish the Georgia-Michigan game was the early game so that, you know, can maybe get together for it, or right. You know, but like the night game when you're trying to get into New Year's Eve is the better right. one, and that's I'm kind of like, whatever. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't think Cincinnati has a prayer there. No. ESPN gives them a 28% chance to win the game. I think that's high. I think they have like a 10%. Like game happens 10 times, you win one.
Yeah,
you know? And that's because you know.
And that might Alabama be being generous, implodes. Honestly. Yeah.
I will say, like, Alabama is definitely a weird team. You know, they really should have lost to Auburn. You know, and
But sometimes
at one point Auburn had a 99.9% chance of winning. Yeah. Alabama had the ball inside their own 10 with not a lot of time left. And you know, Auburn certainly blew that. But I think that's kind of one that you kind of look at it and you're like, man, I wonder. I think Alabama.
So I think this is the worst Alabama team we've seen in potentially a decade, right? That doesn't mean that they're not the best team in the country or close to it, but this is the worst Alabama team. If there was a chance for Alabama to get upset in the semifinals, this is the year compared to what we've seen in previous years, compared to the team they've put forth in previous years. They're also without John Menchie, who is out with an injury. That's a huge loss for them. That is, probably their best offensive weapon. So, that helps. I think Luke Fickell is probably Cincinnati's best weapon against Alabama. This is a guy that is familiar with Saban and with Alabama from his time at Ohio State. I think that is a huge help. I think these Cincinnati players have no idea what they're about to be on the field with, though. And I don't know that there is a way to prepare them beforehand. I just think being on the field with Alabama is kind of a different world.
Yeah, I think that Alabama's been weird this year. You know, mm-hmm. they played down at times.
So, and that's
teams without a pulse. They barely end up beating Florida. Have to hold on in that, which, you know, I know at that time of the year we thought Florida was good, but obviously they weren't. You know, they lose to Texas A&M. They only beat LSU by one score. They only beat Arkansas by one score.
They
only beat
Auburn by one score.
And then they go to play Georgia and like look like world beaters, right? And again,
so
I do think that Georgia
Cincinnati
game was
falls in those opponents, though, close game. I mean, I understand that they made the playoffs because they beat the teams that they needed to beat on their schedule. But if
Cincinnati's better than Florida, I think mm-hmm. that they're better than they're probably on the same level as Arkansas. They're probably better than Auburn. They're not as good. They're not. See, I think LSU's probably a tad better just from like a talent perspective. But I mean, they're not as good as
A&M. You didn't think that when we talked about North Carolina at the beginning of the year.
I mean, I think Cincinnati's better than North Carolina. No, I'm not shy about saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. I think I'd still take North Carolina just for what it's worth.
Over LSU?
What were their records this year? Let's take a look at this.
I think North Carolina's 6-6. And I think LSU's 6-6 too.
We'll see who wins their bowl to settle this.
Is 6-6 in the SEC the same thing as 6-6 in the ACC?
I mean, we're about to see because North Carolina plays South Carolina, an SEC team. So mm-hmm. we're going to find out. I have to look at the actual schedule. Who did LSU? I don't know who LSU played this year.
And they played Florida. Know that. They played Texas A&M.
That's not an impressive win. Beating Florida is not an impressive win.
Well, you know, they played Texas A&M. You know, they played Alabama. You know, they played Arkansas.
They lost to Bama.
They're 6-6. They lost to a lot of teams. I'm just – you say you got to see who the schedule is. I mean,
I think I got North Carolina by 2 points on a neutral field.
You're so stupid.
Kansas State is who they play. They lost to UCLA, lost to Auburn, lost to Kentucky, lost to Mississippi, lost to Alabama, lost to Arkansas, wins against ULM, not impressive. Central Michigan, not impressive. McNeese State, not impressive. And then the other three wins, Florida, not impressive. Mississippi State, is that an impressive win? Then their one good win this year was Texas A&M. So I don't know. I don't know that LSU is great. I mean, they might be better than North Carolina. I don't know one way or the other, but LSU didn't beat anybody with a pulse besides Texas A&M last game of the year, who was playing a backup quarterback.
LSU would kill North Carolina.
LSU did not kill anyone this year, including Central Michigan. So, yeah, I don't know that they would kill North Carolina, but they may beat them.
They'd beat them. Okay.
But I don't know how anybody would say that they would kill them. It is going to be funny when North Carolina finishes 7-6 and LSU 6-7, and I can hold it over your head forever. All right, you got anything else before we get out of here?
I don't think so. I think that's about it. Excited for this game tomorrow night. Too bad, you know, we all have kids, so we can't watch it together. But
just leave the kids at home and come over.
Yeah. My oldest are not old enough to do that just yet. A few years away.
You guys have a gated community.
Yeah.
Like an actual gated community. To get into Allie's house, they literally, like, there's a guard there that will not let you in unless you're either on the list or they call ahead. So, like, it's like the safest community ever.
Yeah, well, I'm not really worried about from the outside getting
in. It's called Avila for those that want to know where Allie lives.
It's more about the burning of the house down that would happen from the inside
go once they go to bed. You'd be fine.
No.
All right, we'll come back next week. We'll do this again. We certainly need to recap this big UCF win that's coming tomorrow night.
We didn't make a prediction. Make a score prediction.
I'm going to give 2. Oh. So I can't be wrong.
Okay.
Because Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is playing quarterback, it's very difficult to know what's going to happen for UF. Emory plays well. Florida wins 27-24. Emory doesn't play well, and UCF wins 31-20.
All right. Well, I predicted 24-21 Florida. But I'd be surprised if Florida gave up 31 points. The only way Florida gives up 31 points is a lot of
55 to Samford.
I would just be surprised. It'd be a lot of interceptions if that happens, but we'll see.
I think, let me take a look at something real quick. I think complete leaders offensive. Emory Jones has given up the third most interceptions in all, like he has thrown the third most interceptions in all of college football.
Yeah.
Number one is Davis Brand from Tulsa. Number two is Sam Hartman from Wake Forest. And then number three is Emory Jones. What's crazy about that is Emory Jones has split a lot of reps with Anthony Richardson. And so for his interceptions to be that high, like I don't know the exact breakdown of, you know, how many passes each of them have thrown this year. I'm curious now, so I'm going to look it up. just to kind of see, but like, yeah. Okay, so number of passes is not a super accurate way to judge this because when Anthony's gone in, like they haven't had him throw the ball. But he split a lot of time with Anthony Richardson. And so to have like 13, to have the third most interceptions in the country is pretty crazy. So over under interceptions tomorrow.
Over under.
So if I say 1.5. Like if
I was going to say over. I'm going to say he has 2 interceptions.
Yeah. If he does, I think that's trouble. I think 2 is trouble. If he can keep it to 1 or less, then he should be fine.
Yeah.
Everybody makes 1 mistake. So, all right. We'll come back next week. We'll recap this. Thanks for those that hung out and watched it. Thanks if you listened later. Until next time, we'll talk about FSU some more. Go Noles.
And Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas. We'll talk about Christmas on the next one. I forgot about that. Merry Christmas and Go Noles. That from Allie Peak. Very good.